Hi, I'm Ari Lewis, the host of Mastering the Attention Economy podcast presented by Brand Street. Brand Street is a community of operators building brands through creative, unpaid marketing and media. Each week, I interview founders, operators, and creators to learn how they are earning attention for their brand without paying for it. If you want to learn more about Brand Street, visit brandstreet.co. If you use the code Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, you'll receive 20% off a yearly subscription to the community. This week's guest is Danny Miranda. Danny is a student of life. He runs the podcast, The Danny Miranda Podcast, and a weekly newsletter called Tuesday Treasure. In this episode, we discuss why he became a full-time content creator, his path to 25,000 podcast downloads, and embracing the content grind. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Thank you, Ari, for having me. This is going to be a lot of fun.
So I want to start off, you have an interesting career path. You were in e-commerce dropshipping, and then, pandemic hit, and you were not really sure what to do, decided to move back home, drop everything, and just start creating content. What spurred that decision?
What spurred that decision was depression and the feeling of not knowing my path and that feeling of uncertainty. And when that happened, I moved back home a little bit before COVID hit and quarantine started, just as a time to think and reflect. And when quarantine hit, I made a decision to myself. I was depressed at that time, but I made a decision. Look, I have a choice right now. I can either use this time to get better, or I can go and spiral further down a hole, which I currently am in. So I made that decision and I started to just build from there. And what led to it, what was the reason for creating content and starting to build, was just because I needed to get myself out of that hole.
And it's so interesting that you say that, because I feel like the pandemic has definitely probably increased depression among Americans. There's something about being in a house or apartment for extended periods of time with limited, social interaction that is depressing. But you're living at home and seem like you're the happiest that you've ever been. Why is content doing that to you? Just, I think so much of when I talk to people on the show, we connect content and business in the sense that, like, it's a way for people to create great businesses. And we don't really talk about the mental health side of things. There's just such a passion for some people around creating content and, fulfilling wants that other people have. Like, can you just talk more about, that self-fulfillment you gain from creating content and, writing and podcasting and whatnot?
Yeah, I think when we become aware of what we're going through and when we are honest with ourselves about the things that we are currently doing on a day-to-day basis, and we put that out there, it allows us to just express ourselves in a way that I never have before and I've never been able to. Just that ability to be honest with myself and putting the same energy that I have in real life onto the keyboard, onto the screen, and into a podcast. It's really interesting because I have all this energy, I have all this love in my heart for people, and just being able to put it out there, it's a beautiful thing. And it's like when you have extra love in your heart and you can give it to someone else, that is the greatest thing. And that's just only the natural process. So that's really what I'm trying to do with all my content, is like, just give my cup is overflowing with love, my cup is overflowing with energy. Can I give that to someone else in this podcast, in a piece of writing, in my newsletter? Can I do that? If I can, then that is making me even more content and making me even more happy. So yeah, that's why it's kind of had that effect.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I think it's awesome that, you've found an outlet that not only is great for yourself, but great for others. I think that's something that probably a lot more people wish they could figure out. But shifting to, sort of your content creation and your flywheel. Can we talk, I guess, you know, you started really going full time on the content in March of last year, March of 2020. You know, what did like your content creation look like before that? Like your social media, you know, did you have a podcast or did you start that after? Can you just talk a bit about, you know, what you were doing on the content side before you went full time?
Yeah. So if you want to get started on my content, it really started in 2009 is when I started putting out content on the internet. I had a blog for productivity that I wrote for 2 or 3 months. And then in 2010, I started a Knicks blog where I documented and reported on the Knicks. And I dropped that in high school and college. And then back when I was graduating college, I then started writing about e-commerce and my e-commerce and dropshipping journey and what I was learning along the way. And eventually I didn't find fulfillment with that, but I started then the content that I'm creating today around how to become the greatest version of yourself, about energy and happiness and all this stuff that I'm talking about today. I started that in March of 2020, and that led to a newsletter, which led to a podcast, which I'm still creating to this day. And it is, yeah, that's my journey in content from age 13 to present day.
Yeah, that's I have a very similar experience of starting to create content at a young age. And it's so funny because, like, it's interesting to see how our content's evolved. I don't even think I knew what MailChimp was, and I think it existed when I started doing email newsletters. I actually put, like, my email newsletter out via, like, Gmail, and then I BCC'd everyone on it. I don't know if you had, like, similar experiences like that, but it's definitely interesting to see how, like, our content process and thinking has evolved over the years. So one of, you know, the questions that I have as a follow-up to that is, you talk about, you know, being the best version of yourself. I feel like productivity is such a popular topic. It's always been a popular topic. How do you make sure that you stand out from, you know, the crowd that's out there? Like, one of the things I think about that space is that there's definitely always, or at least there seems to always be opportunities in that space, but it's also so important to figure out how to position yourself so you're different than what else is out there. How do you think about being different from the other people who are doing that type of category?
Yeah. So how I think about it is, and it hasn't really even been a conscious decision, it's just been, can I create more? And I think one example of this is, very few people are putting out 3 podcasts a week. And I've done that now since September 23rd when I started my podcast. So I think that one thing that people have told me is that I've standed out in a crowded space by producing more. And I have this belief that quantity leads to quality, right? So if you just produce and produce and produce, eventually you're going to get better. This, you've recorded 50 podcast episodes, so obviously your 50th is better than your first. If you can compress that in a shorter window of time, then you're going to be in a better place. So it's like, I've done 3 podcasts a week and released 3 a week. Sometimes I'll record 10 episodes in a week just because I enjoy doing it. I love talking to cool, interesting people like yourself. So that is kind of how I've stood out, is just by producing more and letting that flywheel go and learning and building and growing. So that's kind of how I think about it.
That's an awesome answer, and I love that answer. So, you know, you talked about, like, podcasts as being a differentiator, and that podcast, you know, you're doing 3 times a week. You know, what are the types of guests you interview on the podcast? Who listens to it? You know, can you talk more about that?
Absolutely. So some of the previous guests include, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, which is a whole story in itself. I'll be having Navy SEAL Mark Divine on, which I'm really excited to talk to him, and maybe it'll be out by the time that you release this episode. And I'm having, you know, copy blogger CEO Brian Clark, or former CEO and founder. So just people I've looked up to for a long time. I talk to a lot of writers. I talk to people who have pushed themselves athletically or physically or mentally. And I base the whole podcast around myself. It's a selfish thing, but I assume that my interest will also lead people who are also interested in the same thing to be attracted to the podcast, because it's happening so often, because there's so many episodes, people can be like, oh, I'm not really into writing, so I'm going to ignore this episode, or I'm not really into sports, so I'm going to ignore this. So what I do is I just try to base the interest around myself, because I know that Danny Miranda will still exist as a name 10 years from now. I'll still be Danny Miranda, but my interests will change and develop over time. So I'm kind of taking a long-term approach here and thinking about, okay, I don't want to niche myself down into one thing, because I'm going to change as a person. I'm going to develop and grow and whatever. So that's kind of how I think about it. If I can create a podcast that's around my interest, then I will be able to keep doing it, and it will be something that I'm still passionate about 5-10 years down the line.
So, you know, on that note, one of the things that you said was you talked about the variety of different guests you have. I feel like a lot of podcasts, newsletters, you know, whatever it is, there's like a common thread, right? You know, whether it's the guests or the theme. And it's interesting because, like, yeah, you're talking about productivity, but you're talking about all these different guests. There doesn't seem to be like that clear common thread, and we talked about this before the podcast, of you don't have like the one-liner. And one of the reasons why I was interested in interviewing you is I feel like a lot of the people that I interview, one of the common threads is they use content or media to, you know, drive their business. And you're doing something that we always talk about, but I see very few people actually really, really doing, which is create an audience before you even have a business. So can you, you know, just talk about like how you're thinking about, you know, is that very intentional? Do you think that's going to get more developed as time goes on? You know, just talking about that common thread and sort of, you know, that product side of things and business side of things, of where you see that going.
Yeah, this is a conversation at the dinner table almost every night is, hey, Danny, when are you going to make money? Is what my parents always say. And they'll be laughing listening to this right now. And it's a good question, and it's a fair question. And I think that money will come to me. I think that if you build an audience, eventually the people who are in your audience will tell you, hey, this is what I want from you. This is what I would pay you to have. Or people and businesses will come to me and be like, this is really interesting what you built. Can you help us build something similar? I think that's the natural progression. I'm betting on myself that will be the natural progression. If I'm wrong, my parents will have a good laugh at me, and I'll get a real job. And if I'm right, then I'll never have to do that.
Well, I think that's what's so interesting, though, and something that, you know, I guess you touched on, is when you start building content on the internet and you start developing your following, so many more opportunities come out of nowhere that you didn't know exist. Like, you know, I'm not looking for a job, and I've been offered a couple jobs since I started creating content, and I've been offered jobs and things that I never even thought to explore, but I guess it's now a skill set of mine because I've developed content. You know, have you had sort of like these serendipitous moments occurred from creating content that you just never thought would happen? You know, have you had stuff like what's happened to me happen to you because you started creating content that, you know, yeah, maybe it's not like you're making money from it, but these things that are other benefits of doing the newsletter, doing the podcast, doing Twitter?
Yeah. I mean, talking to Gary Vaynerchuk for 30 minutes, one of my childhood heroes, before, you know, 3 months of the podcast had even gone by. I mean, that was just such a crazy moment for me and really instilled in me the power of putting yourself out there on the internet. I would have never been able to do that. That serendipity occurred, and I just put out you know, my dream podcast guest is Gary Vaynerchuk and four other people. And it led to him following me and then people saying, you know, Gary, you should really go on Danny Miranda's podcast. So yeah, I mean, I can never predict stuff like that. And the serendipity is incredible. And I think it just continues to go. The sheer number of connections and random people who reach out to you who are cool and interesting, I'm really grateful for that. And it's one of the main reasons why I put out content, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. And that is exciting to me.
Yeah. And that's so great of, you know, having like your dream guest on so quickly, I guess, you know, having that dream guest on quickly, like, how do you then plan for other guests? Cause I feel like once you have Gary Vaynerchuk on, it's like, wow, nothing really beats that. I've hit like the pinnacle of like my podcast recordings. How did you think about, you know, continuing to have that motivation to do the podcast from that side of the token once you hit your dream guest?
It's a really good question. And the thing is, I get the joy from the podcast out of having the conversation itself. If the joy came from getting a dream guest or getting someone who was huge onto the podcast, if that was my goal and that was my intention, well, then I've already won. I've already made it. So there was no point in creating podcasts in the future. But the thing is, for me, I enjoy having conversations with people like you. I enjoy having conversations in general. How the podcast started was because I put on Twitter, hey, does anyone want to talk on the phone? And, you know, 10 people responded and I had amazing phone calls, like 20 different conversations. And people said to me so often, this has been such an incredible conversation. And I thought to myself, well, why isn't this recorded? Because someone else could have been dealing with that same issue and that could have helped someone else. So the podcast is really just a way for me to scale my love and my energy. And I'm doing that every day. And that's exciting to me, not having a dream guest. And what's really cool is like, I can then use that guest of Gary Vaynerchuk and say to people, hey, look, like my podcast is legit. Gary Vaynerchuk came on it. So I'm really grateful for Gary for that. And this is just the beginning. I look at Gary Vaynerchuk as coming on the podcast is literally just step one. Like, I want to build this thing out huge. I want to create a huge podcast. I want it to be number one in the world. Like, I already have that intention and it's just 3 months into it. So it'll be interesting to look back in 10 years to see if that promise was fulfilled. But I think the way you continue to think is there's always a next level. There's always you, and understanding that the joy comes from the process itself.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think you have to be so committed to the process. And it's like the people who succeed, they don't just like enjoy the game. They enjoy the practices. And in our case, you know, the practices is all the things you're doing before you hit the publish button. And I think that so many people, when they start creating content on the internet, and I think most people think of like Instagram or like a TikTok or YouTube, they're like, oh, it must be so cool to have 1 million followers. But it's like, people get to like 1 million followers, it takes a really long time to get there. And most people aren't willing to put in the work. So it's great to hear how motivated you are to put in that work and get there. But shifting gears, you know, we talked a bit about your podcast. You know, how do you look at Twitter to driving traffic to all these things? Because you've gone from, you know, not a lot of followers to now you have like over 14,000. You know, is Twitter your top of funnel to drive people to the podcast and to your newsletter and website? You know, how do you think about the funnel of traffic?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this yesterday. Currently, Twitter's my number one and how people discover the podcast. What I'm currently trying to do in 2021 is start to record more video so that YouTube can also serve as that top of funnel. And I think about it like Twitter allows me to have a one-to-one connection with fans in a way that never could have happened with radio. You know, you'd have to write in a letter in the mail if you really liked a radio show or a television show. And now you can actually communicate with the guest and communicate with the audience directly. And I think that is so powerful and underlooked. So Twitter, I'll always be on there to connect one-on-one with people who are enjoying the show. And again, I'm starting to look at YouTube as a way for people to just test out. Do they like this Danny Miranda guy? Is this, you know, is this something for them? So yeah, I think that that's a good way to bring in new people to the podcast.
YouTube is such a great channel. I've always, one of the things that I've always encouraged people to do and that I do, except for today's episode, because those who are listening, I broke my laptop yesterday and have to figure out the new camera setup. I like, an easy way to do it for me, at least, is I record a podcast and I add a video version of it, and I just post that on YouTube, and that's gotten me like 3,000 views, for, which is so, like, it's not really me doing extra work, and it's gotten me all these extra views. So I think once you start actually putting in real work to that and start using some of the content you've already created and repurposing that for YouTube, you can really hit stride, because a lot of people don't realize this, but YouTube's like the second biggest search engine in the world after Google, right? People are searching on it all the time looking for content. So it's such a great way to be discovered. You know, in terms of the other part of the equation that we haven't really talked about in depth is, like, what do you do for your articles and your newsletter writing? You know, like, does the podcast take priority over the newsletter in your writing? Is it all work in sync together? You know, can you just talk about sort of how you view all the different channels, I guess, as a, for lack of a better word, and the continuous use of this buzzword, the flywheel, you know, which takes priority?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think a really important thing that I did was, I didn't start doing all of them at once. And if you try to tweet 10 times a day, if you try to create a podcast and also create a newsletter and write articles, if you say on March 15th, I'm going to be doing all this, and you say on that date, you're not going to be able to do it. But when you can do it is when you take that, and that approach of, like, okay, I'm going to master this, and then I'm going to get to the next thing after I've spent 3 months doing that or 6 months doing that. So kind of how I think about it right now is, the podcast is something that people resonate with the most, and I get a message about the podcast literally every day from just a random stranger, and that is the craziest thing. So that is clearly having the most effect on people, so that is taking priority. And after that, it's like, I have experience writing 33 newsletters now, so I can spend less time on that but still deliver a good enough quality product that people are like, oh, this is interesting. So how I think about it right now is, the podcast gets top priority, and after that it becomes newsletter and tweets. But if I can focus on doing good work on the podcast, then that will help everything else. So that's kind of how I'm thinking about it. But the importance of doing it one at a time and not getting overwhelmed and overwhelming yourself with a million things at once. If you, you know, are overwhelmed with just a newsletter alone, you're not going to be able to also produce a podcast on top of that. So yeah, that's how I think about it.
Yeah. So many people, I feel like when they start going out to create content, they're like, oh, I'm just going to do a bunch of different things. And it's so cliche, and you said it, but it's like, just do one thing really well. And then when you really are killing that, then expand and go from there. And, you know, it sounds like that's what you did, because, you know, you, not until recently really, just switched yourself to 3 times a week in September with the podcast, and you weren't doing that before, and, you know, you're still out once a week for your newsletter. So it sounds like, you know, and you do all this full time. So it's not like you're writing, you know, every day and doing a newsletter every day, doing a podcast every day. So, you know, you're sort of living proof of, you know, focus on quality, people will come, and then you could begin to expand on the quantity of the content you're putting out.
Absolutely. That's exactly how I think about it.
But, you know, as we begin to wrap things up, the question that I always like to end with is, You know, you've really been full-time in the content game since March. You know, what's like one lesson or one takeaway that you'd want to tell the audience that you've learned from your experience?
Love yourself. And it doesn't really have to do with content, but it is how I've managed to create so much content and how I've managed to put an authentic, real person out on the internet who, you know, this is who I am. If you're listening to this, this is actually who I am. And for a long time, creating content in the past, I was creating as if I was someone else and putting a false persona on. And it was because I didn't love myself. And so once I started loving myself, then everything else took care of itself. All of the work didn't become work. It became just putting myself out on the internet. And that has been such a key driver. Any person listening to this, the one thing I recommend is just to love yourself as much as possible. And that could be it, literally just saying I love myself over and over as like an affirmation, or it could be working out and doing the hard thing that you didn't want to do. If you do that over and over and over again, it will lead you to a higher version of yourself, and it will make you feel happy and also those around you happy. So my number one takeaway, number one lesson, love yourself.
Yeah, it's a great takeaway. And it's funny because I don't think that, well, I don't know if funny is the right word. I guess that's more of a phrase that I like to say. But I feel like so much of when I talk to people, it's they're really not talking about the mental health side of things and the grind that content is. So it's great to hear you sort of embrace it and show someone who is not bogged down by the content, but loving the process. And it's really, and you've been open about it, bringing them out of depression. So that's really like a great lesson and great takeaway. But Danny, thanks so much for being on the podcast. Really appreciate it. I'll include your social links on in the show notes. But for those who are listening, you know, where can they find you on social media? Where can they find your podcast?
It's at Hey Danny Miranda on Twitter, and the podcast is the Danny Miranda Podcast. And thank you for having me, Ari. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, Danny, thanks so much again. And until next time, everyone, have a good one.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider giving us 5 stars on iTunes. If you're listening to us on YouTube, consider hitting the like button and commenting on what you enjoyed. I'd really appreciate it.